Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Diversified Integrated Sports Clinic podcast. My name is Dr. Jane Boyle. I'm a chiropractor and I'm joined today by Tamara Ghazi. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, guys. Good to be back.
Good. Nice to see you. How are you keeping today?
I'm great, thank you. Super happy that we have a special guest.
Yeah, we've
inspire us all.
We've got with us today Luke Matthews, who is a triathlete, a coach, an Ironman, and he's here today to talk about all his previous experiences, what he's up to at the moment. How are you doing today, Luke?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Good to be here.
Good. More than welcome. So let's start the ball rolling. Tell us all about yourself. Give us a bit of background.
Okay. So I'm Luke from the UK, right? So I did triathlon probably. In 2011, 2012.
Okay.
Before that, as a junior growing up, I was very much involved with sport throughout the whole school. Mm-hmm. And then sort of through my starting working career, I started to hit the gym a lot more.
Is doing running or?
No, I went more to the whole strength side of stuff.
Okay.
And I got myself to say it was about 5 kilograms, so it was a lot bigger than what I am now.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Probably,
Yeah. Any pictures?
I do. I want to see photos.
But then triathlon started to inspire me around 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. Was down in London and I saw triathlon happen.
Okay.
And sort of something clicked and it was kind of, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I like the competition and that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up when I was still big at 95 kgs.
Yeah.
And I performed okay, but it was a bit of a struggle because of the whole weight issue as well.
Okay.
And then
you need to be slimmer than 95.
Yeah.
Lighter than 95.
Yeah, for sure. You're carrying extra weight, right?
Yeah.
But the whole thing rolled into me doing my first ever marathon. Mm-hmm. In 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, that led on to Ironman.
Okay.
Obviously, before that, I'd done a few sprint triathlons, Olympic triathlons, which mm-hmm. are shorter distance.
Yeah.
For people that don't know Ironman is it's a 3.8k swim, 180k bike, and a 42k run.
Okay.
Okay. So it's like it's the extreme of the triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
Starting
off, did you instantly know you wanted to do Ironman, or did you think, oh, I like triathlons, and then you started off the sprint?
Yeah, so I started with the whole triathlon thing, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I did my first marathon in 2013, which mm-hmm. was Edinburgh. It's still, to this day, my only marathon that I did.
That's not an easy one, is it?
No, it's actually quite flat.
Okay.
A lot flatter than what people think.
Right to the coast and back, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was, I did that in 2 hours 58. So I knew.
Incredible
that
timing.
That's
very, very good for somebody who's never run a marathon before.
Yeah, and it was on some training, but nothing majorly structured.
Okay.
So the next step was to go and do an Ironman. And I thought, well, I'll do one Ironman, mm-hmm. tick the box and say I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did one in the UK. And basically, from there, it led to my first ever qualification for the World Championships.
In Kona?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct, yeah. And which was a massive surprise for me.
Okay.
As in the way of, I went there to do it, tick the box and say I've done it, mm-hmm. and I thought that would be Ironman sort of done and dusted, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Box ticked.
Yeah, pretty much. But one thing led to another, and a couple of months later, I was on the plane to Hawaii.
Okay.
And then I performed even better in Hawaii than what I had done in the UK.
Okay.
So
that's a world class field,
yeah,
isn't it?
Massive.
That's
yeah.
the sort of
thing. It's the best of the best.
Best of the
people
best.
People train their whole lives to get into Kona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to do it on my first attempt is, you know, it's pretty big. Like
yeah.
some people I've met, they've trained for 10, 15, 20 years to just get that one spot. You
okay.
know, people dedicate their lives to get.
Wow.
And yeah, I felt lucky for getting that spot.
Mm.
But also it was sort of realization of, actually, this sport's probably for me.
Yeah.
You know, does the sport find you, or do you find the sport?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, maybe I found the sport that I'm pretty good at.
You're
right.
Yeah.
As a kid, okay, I swam and I ran, but I never biked really.
Okay.
So putting it all together, over a period of time, it seems to have, yeah, it seems to have worked for me.
Good. And what's your best event in terms of the running, the swimming, and the cycling?
I'm quite lucky at the fact that I'm probably pretty average at the mall. Average
yeah.
in the way of I don't have anything as
will
excel.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys say strong bikers or runners.
Mm.
A lot of people struggle with the swim and triathlon as a whole, especially when it comes to the longer distance.
Mm-hmm.
For me, obviously, I swam county level to about age 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely gave me a background, but I didn't start swimming again until I was 25. So there was a big gap, but at least it's somewhere there.
It's basics.
Yeah, given to me. Luckily, as a child, I've been made to swim before I've been walked. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So thankful for that. The bike came bit by bit, but still working very hard on it. And then the run, you know, school level, it was always like cross country, track athletics, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all sort of molded into one quite nicely.
Yeah.
But it's just taking it to that next level when you go over a certain distance, you know, and the marathon at the back end of an Ironman.
Mm.
However fit you are, it's never easy.
Yeah, never easy.
Yeah.
And you obviously love the sport.
Yeah.
A part of that is probably because you're naturally good at it. But other than that, for some people to say that you do a triathlon for the Ironman distances involved, that sounds insane. What is it you think you like? Or
yeah, what? That's often the reaction we get. Like when people think about taking it to the extremes.
Mm.
But it all takes time. Like, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. And a lot of people that I get come to see me, they want to do an Ironman within 6 months from obviously nothing.
Mm.
And to get to the levels where we're getting to and people are pushing the boundaries, it comes with time. It doesn't happen overnight, right? And
yeah.
Like, for example, people look at me crazy if I'm going out for a five-hour ride.
Mm.
But that's not me going from nothing to a five-hour ride. It's built up over time. So now I go out for a three, four, five-hour ride, and it doesn't actually feel that much.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone who doesn't cycle is then thinking, I'm going to go for a five-hour ride,
sure.
It's hard to think that's realistic to be able to do.
Sure.
But it's like everything, it's consistency and time and just building it up over.
It's amazing how much the body can adapt. I think we see that on a regular basis with our patients who all of a sudden go from nothing to doing something, and that's why they get injured and hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing we always tell them, like, give it time, be patient, you know, things come.
Yes.
It's just amazing to see how much, you know, the body can take and how much it can change and adapt.
Mm.
I think to the environment. I think also, like, you know, I'd like to ask you is how you train in this environment, because 4 or 5 months out of the year, it's pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, summer in Dubai is very hard. It's very hard to train for. We have to do stupid early mornings or late nights.
Yeah.
Is that ideal? No. You know, that's when the body should be recovering, right? And recovery is massive in our sport. It is in any sport.
Yeah.
But especially in our sport, when you've been hammering the body for 5, 6, 7 hours a day, that's just training, and then you've got work on top of that. All the stress that the body's being put through, you have to sleep properly. And for us training in these conditions, if you want to go out on long rides, getting up at 3 in the morning, it's not ideal, but we still have to put the training in.
Yeah. Tell me about your social life.
It's got a little bit better. I'm on a bit of downtime now after just competing in South Africa, so it has got a little bit better. But generally, there's not a huge amount of social life that happens, unfortunately. But I love what I do, so I carry on doing what I'm doing, I think.
So I had a patient a number of years ago, and he'd done about 15 Ironmans, but not one of them had been dubbed well. I mean, it also come in wrecked, you know, with whatever injury, musculoskeletal wise. And the last time I saw him, he had actually collapsed over the finishing line.
But he
got away
in
an ambulance.
But he finished it.
His girlfriend thought he was going to die, and he was going, "Do you think I'm being silly?" And I was like, "Well, you know, you kind of tick the triathlon Ironman box. Why don't you move on to 10K or just take it a little bit easy? Do you think it's wrong that people have the idea of, I really want to do an Ironman, but don't put in the 6 hours a day training and all that?"
Yeah, I mean, it all depends who they are and what they've come from, their background and everything else, right? Like some guy who's just been doing sprints or weights or something, they're not going to adapt very well to doing the endurance world, right? Like, I mean, there's some guys that I know who back in the day have been doing marathons, you know, years before, and somewhere in that body and in that system, they've got that endurance base, right? So it's a case of, they could probably adapt to it a lot better. Guys or girls coming from absolutely nothing into them doing it, my advice is take your time, don't rush into it, you know, do it as a process of a 2, 3, 4 year sort of goal. To do it healthily, and to do it safely, and to stop the injuries happening so much.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, right? People try and step up the training so quickly, they're going to end up injured.
Yeah.
Extra stress on the body that it really doesn't need, but built up over time, over years, the body can adapt. Especially the older we get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in my sport, probably the peak of our careers is 34 to 36 years old, which is totally different to a lot of sports. So luckily I'm not even there yet, which is good.
Okay.
So, and I can feel it in my body year on year how much stronger it's getting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Just because of the amount of miles, the amount of base, the body's starting to adapt.
Yeah.
And it's great. So that's why a lot of people start this sport late.
Mm-hmm.
And they can still perform.
Yeah.
So, because they're probably not burnt out when they were younger.
Yeah.
A lot of people who do this sport from being young, they're burnt out by the age of 30, 40.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're living at the Brownies there, are you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at them. I mean, they're so injury prone, right?
Yeah.
So injury prone. There's numerous things why that could be. But, I mean, as kids, they hammered themselves.
Yeah.
They really did. Mm-hmm. They're still performing to the highest levels, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But they seem to come down with a lot more injuries than a lot of the other athletes on the average.
And I think, what do you call the oldest Brownie brother?
Alistair.
He just did his first Ironman.
Yeah, 70.3. Yeah. So he's just stepped up to the longer distance. So 70.3 is half the distance of all the Ironman.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the, this is 1.9 swim, 90k bike, and 21k run. Same as what we have here in Dubai, 70.3. And yeah, that's his first middle distance, and yeah, he won by about 8 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, I think he's a 1:11 run as well. He put down half marathon, I think it was around that, which is phenomenal.
That's insane.
Yeah. So they are a force to be reckoned with, and they're just gonna, I think, take Ironman as a whole to a different level.
Yeah.
If they
take it up a notch.
Yeah, they'll take it up another notch. I think.
Oh my
goodness. Which is scary.
So you hate them.
Yeah. But admire them,
so. So I'm getting your accent there. Are you from in and around the same part of the world?
As the Brownlees?
I'm gonna say Yorkshire. You might hate me if I say.
No, I don't hate you for that.
Yeah.
You're
not from Lancashire, right?
No, I'm actually from Lincoln.
Okay.
But I spent a lot of time in Leeds, so
okay.
That's probably a little bit of Yorkshire twang in there as well. Yeah.
Because Yorkshire has something like half of the Great Britain's gold medals or something. That
it
one
wouldn't
county.
Surprise me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me, right?
I remember that stuff from the last Olympics and I'm like, oh, that's insane.
But build them tough, right?
Yeah, build them tough club. So you've got Kona later on this year.
I haven't.
Oh, you don't?
No,
okay, so
I've been
you did
to Kona
13,
twice,
15.
2013 and 2015.
Okay, what are you doing?
And so for this Kona, I qualified in China and I qualified in South Africa.
Okay.
So I qualified twice this year and I've turned it down twice.
Okay.
People think I'm nuts for doing it, but for where I am right now, I don't want to go back just yet.
Okay.
When I go back, I want to be able to look at like a top five or something in my age group.
Okay.
Probably now it's looking like a top 20 or something. So I think the time, the effort and everything to go back there and go for that, it's just not the right time.
Yeah.
Like I've said already, it's kind of, I feel my body getting stronger year on year on year.
Mm.
Let's wait until it's really ready to go.
Okay.
Because in 2015, I remember getting treated by Dr. T quite a bit here.
Mm.
And I put myself probably in a bad place overall to go there and perform the way I should have done.
Okay.
Maybe uneducated, and I've learned a lot from it.
Yeah, experience, right?
Yeah, massive. Absolutely massive. So like I say, year on year, I gain all that experience as well.
Was your performance better in 2015 than 13 or no?
Time-wise, no. World ranking, yes. So it was a harder year anyway.
Okay.
And so I'd gone up the field in the world ranking. But where I thought I was going to perform a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come together on the day. And some days it's like that.
Mm.
But then I look back at certain things and comments and, you know, advice maybe I should have taken from certain people.
Mm.
But you sort of block it out.
Yeah.
But the older I get, the wiser I get. And the more I, you know, soak in that.
Like it was an overtraining thing. Yeah.
Massively overtrained, I think, personally. And then it all came crashing down after Kona. Like it was, I didn't take any recovery time. And I went into it like a bad place mentally and physically. I wasn't there, you know. But every cloud has a silver lining and you learn from it. And
You come back.
Yeah.
So how do you balance your own training? And then also being a coach for other people wanting to do what you do, and then like Tamara suggested, a personal life.
Let's also talk about your transition into coaching, because when I met you, you were working at the Cycle Hub.
Yes.
And you were just a full-time athlete, I think, you know, and a part-time bike shop.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It was great. Like I remember you were talking to me about, you know, your dream and you want to inspire other people, and people were coming up to you and saying, hey, can you help me out? So how did you transition into coaching, you know, what are you learning from it? You know, and I think maybe that could have influenced your decision not to go to Kona.
Yeah, yeah, So I was working at Cycle Beer, which is a great bike shop in Motor City, and I was coaching people part time as well on the side, and I was getting more and more people like requesting it. And I have a good friend here called David Boucher, who owns a gym, Optimal Fitness, and together we sort of started to create our own brand, Optimal Tri, to have as a coaching inside of their gym. And for me, it's just been the best move I've ever made. Absolutely phenomenal. I now have, my job is my passion, and I get to coach and change people, help change people's lives and reach their dreams, you know.
You're done with Cycle Hub?
Yes.
And I'm possibly deviating here. So Optimal Fitness was the base, and then Optimal Tri has come off that base. David and yourself.
We decided we wanted to branch, like keep it under the same banner, but sort of branch away into our own little side of the business. And absolutely amazing. I mean, I coach all my athletes based here in Dubai, but while you're over in Saudi. But it's just that interaction with people who are training, whether it be for a sprint, Olympic, some guys I've got who are just coached for cycling, we've got some guys who are doing endurance sport, just endurance runs, ultra runs. Overall, just the network that you have here in Dubai, we have here in Dubai, is phenomenal. And it inspires me, they inspire me, right?
Yeah.
I have a lot of influence in what they do, but they also have a lot of influence in what I'm doing as well.
Yeah, so Dubai is a good place to train.
Most of the year, also, I've already mentioned, like, just that in the summer it is hard.
There's
no way around it.
There's
no way around it. But people are so committed here, you know, to put the hours in, that they make it work.
And the facilities are good, aren't they? I mean, there's great places to cycle, great places to run, great places to swim.
Yeah, I mean, we are covered, absolutely covered. I mean, the cycle track, the great thing about it is the safety. Right, like, I mean, where else in the world have you got that amount of track?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know of anywhere that's safe without cars on the road. Is it, I mean, some people just think it's super, super boring. Don't get me wrong, when you're out a 5-6 hour ride on there, it is pretty dull, but podcasts and things like that can help you get through it.
Sure.
But overall, you just can't complain. Like, I mean, it is world-class facilities.
Yeah.
And they're extending everything and providing even more swimming pools and extending the running tracks. So we've got no excuses not to get out there and get moving.
Yeah, what is it, 250 kilometers of cycle?
I mean,
almost or more?
I think probably around 200 and so extended.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So what would it be like for any of our listeners if they came to you and said, I want to do a triathlon or I want to do an Ironman, go for it. What would that look like? What would you do for them?
As with all my athletes, I like to sit down and just sort of get to know them a little bit, you know, as in like see what their goals are and what is realistic. I'm never going to lie to someone and say, within 2 months you can have done an Ironman. You know, it is, like I've already said, it's a process, right? And start small. Start with the smaller
the sprints.
The sprints, the Olympics and stuff like that, and build it up, because see if you like the sport, right? You know, it might look good on TV or when you've been there to support it, but make sure you actually want to do the sport.
Enjoy
yourself. Yeah, like, I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a big thing I say to people. It's kind of, once you stop enjoying it, I mean, I would stop doing it. And back to overtraining towards Kona, I started to stop enjoying the sport. I've fallen out of love with it. And it was going one way for me, and I just really wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah.
I took a bit of time off, and then I came back to it wanting it even more. So it's kind of, you have to love what you're doing. Like, training is training. Some days you just got to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
But as long as 85-90% of the time we're actually enjoying it, keep on doing it.
Even though that might be at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the kind of clients you see? Have you seen anyone who drastically changed their lives? Like, are they young people, older people? Are they athletes? Are they people who work all day and just want to do something different with their lives? What do you have?
Yeah, I have a total mix of people. I mean, I've got these guys, one guy especially who's gone from 100 plus kgs down to, it was 140, and then he went down to 90 for doing 90 kgs. So he lost 50 kilograms, right? And that was so he could be ready to do his first ever Ironman. And last year he completed his first ever Ironman. So it was great to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I even went over to the UK to watch him do that, which was phenomenal. To see the final, step through the line and just see it. Because that was his dream.
Embrace him like a brother and weep.
Yeah, more weeping on his side than mine. I was telling him I'd go out for another one afterwards. I've got all sorts of people who have never done a triathlon before, doing a sprint triathlon. I've got guys who are current qualifiers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got an absolute mix of people. And the sport, like I've already said, it's not too late to start. You can start at any age. So
any age. What's the oldest age bracket for triathlons?
I've been in Kona in 2013 and 72-year-old woman did it.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Did you beat her?
I did. She was one of the last over the line, but she made it over the line.
Wow.
There's a 17-hour cut-off window for Ironman.
Right.
Amazing.
And she got through it. Back in 2015 when I was there, there was a Japanese guy going to be the oldest man, I think 84, 85 years old, get across the line, and he missed it by 6 seconds.
You're joking.
Six seconds.
Isn't that a movie? Is that seven seconds?
He got on the finish chute, but he didn't. They couldn't say he'd done it because he was out of time.
So they just shot him?
Yeah. I think he came back next year. And I believe he did it, but I'm not 100%. But yeah, so the age bracket's 90. I guess up to 90 years old is probably, that 85 to 90 now. They're pushing the boundaries even more. Some of the best seem to be the Japanese.
Yeah.
They seem to build them strong there. They live long in Japan.
Yeah, it's all that sake.
Yeah.
But the brownies might not get there, maybe.
No.
They'll be worn out.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So what about your diet? Do you look after it? Do you eat lots of chocolate bars? Or do you like eat really clean and strict?
This is the part I hate talking about. I wanted to say that he loves chocolate. He eats it all times a day because he burns so many calories.
Nutrition's been a big journey for me as well. From obviously going from being a big Nat 5kg guy, eating so much like
beef jerky proteins.
To get bigger. And I was pretty undereducated at that time as well. Now, I've been through a whole different process of the whole low-fat, high-fat, low-carb diets. Not even diets, just ways of life. I never see it as a diet, and currently I'm pretty much plant-based.
Yep.
So, and that journey happened starting in October, and so far, still 100% plant-based.
What happened? What switched you over?
Reading articles, the quality of the meat that we can get here,
the environment,
just everything like that. And I had an athlete who was vegan, and his recovery time seemed phenomenal.
Yeah,
absolutely phenomenal compared to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it, and I was always one of those people like, you've got to eat meat, right?
Yeah.
You have to have meat. It's just part of my life, you know. And animal products has got it.
Protein.
Yeah.
The big word, protein.
Yeah. But it bugged me for a while, so I thought, I don't know unless I try.
Yeah.
So I tried it, and leading up to China, I was pretty much plant-based. Bahrain 70.3, Dubai 70.3, and I'm in South Africa. I've done it all plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been my best results ever.
Okay.
Yes, of course, it's to do with the training that I'm doing as well, but is that helping influence that as well? I don't know. I'm still on a journey.
You can certainly add it in as a variable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't push it on anyone. I don't push it on my athletes. It's everyone's own decision.
Yeah.
So I'm not going down that route of saying I am, and I always will be.
Have you tried any blood testing?
Ryan, Wellness Brothers, and he's been looking after me on that side.
What did he, is he, I don't know if he is a vegan or whatever.
No, he's heavily plant-based.
But he still eats meat. Yeah. So.
And maybe I think that's the way I will go, right?
Sure.
Like, I just think because of the quality of the meat,
yes.
If I could live on my own farm and kill my own animals and all the rest of it, that would probably be a
perfect world.
Yes,
yeah.
Don't live in a perfect world.
No.
It's still on that journey for me. So I don't know which way it will end up, but right now I still feel great.
Yeah.
I've not eaten meat. Very limited on the dairy products. I mean, if it's in something, I'm not one of these people that's going to be like don't bring me to the table, because sure. I don't want to be one of those annoying people that you go out with and just so fussy about all
yeah.
that thing. Not fussy enough as it is.
Yeah. What did your mum say about you going vegan?
I'm not being back home yet.
Is that why?
Yeah. But then they understand, and I'm not doing it because I want to save the world and that side of it. It's great if I'm helping influence that. You know, as in the agricultural,
yeah.
you know, side of it, and
yeah.
The deforestation and
yeah.
everything that's like.
Yeah, it's the most significant, as much as I've researched, the biggest cause of environmental damage.
Right. But I'm not doing it for that sole reason. Mm. If it's helping, great.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for performance reasons, seeing how I perform off it. And
yeah.
so far, the recovery has been phenomenal. It has, like, and I just don't feel like I have that lull during the day like I used
mm-hmm.
to get. Stimulants-wise, like coffees and stuff like that, even though I should have been a nice one, I don't feel like I need it as much as
yeah.
whereas before, it was kind of, I needed that pick-me-up all
yeah,
the time.
Boost.
Chocolate. My taste buds have changed,
yeah.
But I still love my chocolate.
Yeah.
But it, obviously, dark chocolate, and if it's quality chocolate, there's
yeah.
no dairy in it, right? So
yeah.
I'll use cocoa butter and stuff.
I
want to
know how many peanut butter jelly sandwiches you have today.
I say it again then.
Do you find you're eating more?
Quantity wise, yes, because meat
yeah.
is so calorie dense.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am eating a lot more. But strange, it's not always, everyone thinks it's just all salad. It's not. Like,
yeah.
I have to do probably a little bit more cooking, a little bit more research,
yeah.
and making sure I'm eating the right things.
Yeah.
Do you find all the ingredients over here? Like, you find, you know, certain types of grains and
yeah.
what do you eat? What's your, do you have, you know, chia seed pudding every day for breakfast? Or
a
like,
lot
what,
of time. Yeah.
What are you eating to fuel you?
Yeah, I tried to change it as much as possible. I tried to involve as many herbs and spices
yeah.
and natural sort of
flavorings.
Yeah, natural flavors all the time, right? It's just going back to that. Anything that's processed, I just try and keep out.
Yeah.
You know? Grains and stuff here, it seems to be enough. But then you also have the other argument of how good is the quality of the vegetables and the fruits and everything that we're getting here by the time it's coming to our supermarket.
Mm.
So again, I'm not living on my dream world of a farm,
sure.
where I'm growing my own. That would be the dream.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't know. I feel like I can get enough of what I need here.
Mm.
Supplements, I do take the odd thing, but nothing major. I'm not like, I don't have a rack of pills that I take every day. You know,
yeah.
the odd bit of B12 I take, strong dosage.
Yeah.
And then protein supplement after a ride, but it's obviously it's all vegan protein.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So.
I imagine you've got enough vitamin D all the
yeah,
time spent outdoors.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't seem to be an issue. I don't feel like I'm lacking anything. I feel like I know my body pretty well by now.
Mm.
And as soon as I said to a lot of people, it's like, if I'm craving eggs, meat, whatever it may be,
yeah.
I'll start to eat it. Like,
yeah.
I'm not putting a no to it.
Yeah,
I've
sure.
been in South Africa. I've just come back from South Africa
mm.
racing, the land of great steak, right?
Yeah.
And not once did I cave or need it or
yeah.
feel like I had to have it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Let's see how long this journey goes for.
Sure.
But, yeah.
I'm just grateful wine is vegan.
I
don't know what I would do without that. I would feel like
a also, also Guinness. Guinness is vegan, actually.
And tequila too, right?
Yeah.
I love
tequila.
Beer,
all these options
yeah.
we have.
Guinness didn't used to be, but it is
we need
now.
Steak.
Yeah,
just drink Guinness.
Yeah. No, I drink very often.
Yeah.
Only on the downtown.
Yeah. Very good.
Very cool.
So, what was it like racing in China recently? You must have been the tallest guy there.
China is the new wave of this sport.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Usually. There's a Wanda who have just bought Iron Man out.
Right.
The brand.
Wow.
So
how
Chinese,
much did they buy that for?
Oh, I think like 250 million.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
I'm not, don't quote me on that. But phenomenal experience going over there. Really,
really
good. Yeah.
What city were you in?
I'm gonna say it wrong, but Xi'an.
Xi'an,
I think. So down on the south coast,
okay.
off to Taiwan.
Nice weather. Nice
weather was super hot. There was even
really?
Pros where some of them were passing out on the run. It was super hot. I think also to do with the air condition and the quality.
Okay.
But I think living in Dubai, it was training me quite well for
okay.
that, the air quality side of it.
There you go. It is a good place to
yeah, yeah, certainly. But it was hot, but it was phenomenal experience, and you can just see that there's a buzz around sport there.
Yeah.
I believe certain brands can't produce enough bikes
to keep up with demand.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's only got one more, and they love the best of the best. So high quality.
Right.
So maybe I'll take my training, my coaching business over
there
because there could be a good market.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was different, but at the same time, really, really good. I mean, the Chinese are giving out Kona slots as well over there.
Okay.
For only racing 7.3.
Okay.
Which some people find controversial because they believe that you should always qualify for the World Champs Ironman by doing an Ironman, not 70.3, which is the half of the distance.
Okay.
I think it's they want to influence the Chinese.
They're trying to grow it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, into their country.
And in fact, they just bought it.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got a current spot there.
Great.
But a little bit out of principle, I didn't take that one because
yep.
I feel like you've got to.
You should, do the big one.
Yeah.
To okay.
Get it. So.
So there'll be a lot more ones then in China, probably.
There is. There's more and more happening. I think there's 5 or 6 this year coming up. So they're throwing them at them, but they've got people to fill the slots as well, right? So the sport will boom there. Hopefully they'll put some more money into the sport for the pros of our industry as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not that well funded and money wise it's not great for the guys who are performing at the top level.
Yeah.
Only probably the top 10 in the world are making a good living out of it.
Yeah.
The next 500 they're getting by.
Yeah.
So because I mean that was one route that I was thinking of going.
Mm-hmm.
Down the professional route, but now starting up the whole coaching business, I feel like I found a better
niche
for me. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not saying that's never going to happen.
Sure.
Maybe it will. So year on year, the budget's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, to concentrate 100% on this is probably the way forward for me.
Very good.
And that was like you said earlier tomorrow, about influencer not taking Kona this time was so I can concentrate on the business as well.
Yeah. In Dubai, we love our new products and expensive sporting goods. How expensive do you think it would be for the average Joe out here to start
triathlon
training?
Sounds good, right? I mean, you can...
Big one's the bike, right?
That's the big outlet.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can set up on a bike for around a fairly decent bike for, you know, you can sit on 4,000 for a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all the kit on top of that.
Yeah.
If you want to invest, then you're probably looking at around that 12,000, you know, with a good bike to last you for a few years, with some nice kit to go with it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's no real upper limit there.
There isn't.
No.
No, I mean, some bikes now, you're looking at 60,000 plus.
Oh,
yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. I remember being in Cycle Up and selling one that was a limited edition, but it was over 100,000 dirhams just for a bike.
That's a nice bit of business for you, huh?
Yeah.
Nice slice.
I wish.
Yeah.
I remember when I did the DIT here, I took Colleen's bike.
That's right.
Your fiance's
that's
bike.
Right.
And there was like a little road bike. I won't say crappy because she's probably listening to
this. Yes, you might do.
I mean, that thing like wouldn't cut wind, you know, but it was still a great way to experience the sport. And I think it shouldn't turn people off.
Mm.
Like that you have to invest. I mean, you have to invest in yourself in any case, you know, in your health. And it's just a bicycle that you can have for the rest of your life. So I rode that for 6 months and I loved it, you know. I had it in the clinic for a while. So I think it shouldn't turn people off from the sport. You don't have to always have, this is the problem we have here in Dubai. We always have to have the best, shiniest thing. And it's your body at the end of the day. It's not the bike that's going to make you better.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely give you that advantage at a later stage. But if you're just coming as an entry level into the sport, I don't see why people have to go drop 20,000 on the bike.
No, totally.
It makes sense to me.
The legs of the motor, right?
Yeah.
Especially
right.
on the bike. So when it comes to a high level, every little bit of weight saving stuff can help you out.
Yeah.
But generally, no, just get something to get you going and get you into the sport.
Yeah.
Even if it was like you start doing a sprint triathlon or super sprint triathlon, you could literally train in the gym and rent a bike for just doing it. You know, just getting involved into the sport. Like rent the bike, don't buy it. You know, see if you're going to enjoy that day. Because swimming wise, pair of goggles, running, heavy trainers. Rent that bike for a day, and if you've done a little bit of training up into it, and you enjoy it, then invest. You know, don't go out there and spend thousands in it's your first few weeks into the sport. You know, just
this seat will probably kill you anyways, even if you
spend
hundreds
of dollars. Speaking of which, you must have had a few injuries over the years.
What have
been the most biggest problems that you've had?
Touch wood, never broken any bones.
Okay.
I've been very, very lucky. I've had lots of road rash and bits of skin missing here and there. Leave some tasty scars, but apart from that, I've been very lucky compared to a lot of other athletes that I coach and who I ride with. been very fortunate.
And you've obviously been in DISC, and I'm sure you've been in Optimal Fitness as well. How do you manage your own care in terms of you have an injury? What things do you find are particularly effective if you're at home and you're in pain and you need to help yourself, or what do you do?
Now it tends to be a lot, obviously, it's great to come and get treatment because recovery is massive, right? Absolutely massive. It's one thing in our sport that people don't do enough of, especially here in Dubai. They're trying to hold a full-time job down and they're trying to train for an Ironman or a triathlon as a whole. And they forget the recovery, they forget about the sleep. The sleep for me is massive, you know. It's just not taken seriously enough. Yeah, people, they're still trying to go to bed at 12 and wake up at 4 and still train. And your body's going to break down. Absolutely, it's going to break down. What I use for me is kind of food as well. Like, you know, food is that medicine. And it works massively now, especially with the way I eat. And I think we can get so much through natural instead of going down the chemical route all the time. People are always trying to take that quick fix of some tablets, some medicines. And I'm big, just trying to stay away from all that. Like, just do not try and stay away from the chemical side of it. Use naturals.
Everything natural.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be your number one tip then for...
Going down that route as much as possible, because there's no side effects, right? Using medicines, there's side effects, whichever way, because then you might have to take something to combat something else. Make sure you get sleep as well. Sleep, you know.
Sleep and eat vegan.
I'm never saying go eat vegan.
And drink Guinness.
Guinness though, yeah.
I want to end on one last question for you, Luke. I mean, your story is super inspiring, but like, what is it that makes you tick? Is it the competition? Is it, you know, inspiring people? Is it seeing how much you can push yourself? Like, what drives you at the end of the day?
Yeah, there's quite a few, right? Like, I mean, especially now I'm doing the whole coaching side of it, like inspiring my athletes and inspiring anyone that's sort of, that's great. I mean, it's nice when people say that sort of stuff to you. Like, I just do what I love, right? What makes me tick is just that, it's that feeling, right? Just exercise and training, accomplishments that I've had, especially during race day when it's like you're going through hard times, and the mind is really, really like, it's playing a game with you. And that's the whole thing about endurance sports and Ironman. Literally in South Africa, I was willing, after 9 minutes on the bike, I just wanted to pick it up and throw it away.
Really?
Yeah, and that was only 90 minutes into a 5-hour ride. But being able to then switch the mind into it, into race day, and then onto the run, because you've still got a marathon to run, it's great. I love those games. You know, those things, sort of things make me tick in a sort of way that, just to push that body that little bit further, bit by bit by bit.
When you could have given up, but you didn't.
Yes, exactly. And to see the results and the performances, and to see that through my athletes as well, you know, people that I've helped there, to get there. No, it's very, very rare that anyone will have that perfect day racing, because it doesn't happen. It really doesn't. There's always something that goes wrong. But to do the best you can be is great, because, I mean, they say to me that I inspire them, but they're the ones inspiring me more than anything, you know. And family and friends, and, you know, you go through those hard times during races, and you're always thinking about people watching or... you know, tracking you online, you know, it gives you that extra push that you need. For sure. And to see the responses afterwards is phenomenal. Really is. It's super exciting.
Great. So I know your Instagram handle is tryhardluke.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How else can people get in touch with you?
You can also get in touch with me at lukeoptimalfitness.ae. That's my email address. Always willing to speak to people, come in for a coffee, have a chat. Also at optimal, optimal tri coach on Instagram as well.
Okay.
Not heavily into the social media side of stuff. It's one thing I always get shouted at.
I looked you up beforehand, and I think your last Twitter entry was last year.
Oh, Twitter, yeah, definitely.
Listen, you're doing better than me.
It's hard work. And that's one thing. I find it hard to promote myself. You know? What I do is because I love it. And I'm not special. Right?
Sure.
I'm not special at all, as in the way of, this is me just doing what I do. People think it's amazing that we ride and we run and all this, but it's just, it's the normality. It's just, it feels so normal.
Normal and natural.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. It's much appreciated.
Always great to have you in here, and yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Inspiring us both, me and James, to get back in, well, to me get back in.
Especially tomorrow, so really do something.
Yeah. Well, I'll be
I think James, swimming would be great for you. Your long lean body. I could totally see it.
Long lean body.
And I'm going to be joining Dr. T on the last part of the run on Friday as well.
We've got a 50k run coming up, so Luke will be there. If only he wasn't recovering, he'd be doing the whole 50 with us. But
maybe.
Another job.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here, and we wish you all the best. And yeah.
Thank you.
So if anybody wants to contact us out there, you can send us an email at contact@disc-me.com, and we're also on Instagram at disc_lifestyle. Any comments, suggestions, any questions you have for us, we'll be more than happy to respond. Take care, everybody. Thanks very much, Luke, and we'll see you all next time.
Você é tão bonita que o samba vai te levar.